This is Scott Allen from odecode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from lazycoder.com.
So, hi, welcome back. This is John Galloway. I'll be the MC for this week. First of all, thank you for the feedback we got from last week's show. So we're working on some of the different things, the audio quality, the audio levels. We also got some interesting feedback on the piranha effect, which can creep in when you get four nerds together talking about anything. So we're going to kind of focus our effort on criticizing things sometimes, but also on being happy and joyful at other times. So this week, our subject of happiness and joy is the Ajax world. And specifically, we're going to talk about what came out from Google today. And Scott Kuhn, a.k.a. Lazy Coder, you were the first one to bring this up today.
Yes. So at the Google I.O. conference today, they announced this thing called the Ajax Libraries API. And in a nutshell, what it is it's Google hosting several different JavaScript libraries on their server. So in order to embed them in your web page or use them in your web page, instead of having to download the libraries and put them into your web root and refer to them by URL via your script tag, you can just put in the googleapis.com/Ajax URL as the source for your script tag. Yahoo has done this for, what, a year or so? Maybe not that long, but they've put it up on their content distribution network, and they provide the hosting for the JavaScript libraries. And you can specify whether it's the minimized version, where it's the debug, what specific version number of the library that you're trying to call you want. And they also provide some pure code methods for loading the libraries into your web page.
I've noticed that AOL's been doing this for a while with Dojo support too.
Yes.
So other than the hosting part, is there anything new functionality-wise?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, the code part, the actual API, is interesting in that you can... It's very similar to the Yahoo loader object or Dojo's package system, where you can just specify, they have a top-level Google object, and you can type Google load, then the name of the library that you want to load. And the standard method is that it will create a script tag and dynamically append it to the DOM, and then load the content there and make sure that it runs. There's also some different ways you can set onload callbacks and other kinds of events via the Google object.
Do you or does anyone know if they've got support for JSONP, where you're creating via JSON, so you kind of get around some of the cross-domain access issues that you normally hit with Ajax?
Oh, okay. So I've never heard it called JSONP. We just called it, hanging around the Ajax cross-domain request before. Must be pretty... Oh, what is it? Oh, December 12, 2005. So, way to keep up on things, Scott. But yeah, essentially, it's the same thing. So, some of the JavaScript APIs out there, the REST APIs, will allow you to specify a callback when you're retrieving JSON data. And then what it basically does is wraps your JSON object in this method call so that you can... It's essentially a way around... the fact that there's no onload event for these kinds of scripts, at least it's cross-browser. So as soon as the JSON object finishes loading, your method, your wrapper method, will execute. And you can write the wrapper method to pass the JSON object off to a handler or to parse it or whatever you need to do with it. There's nothing built in to the Google API that I can see that does that. But like I said, mostly that's up to the web services API to provide that kind of callback functionality.
Gotcha. So you've been a fan of the Yahoo UI toolkit for a while. What about Kevin or K Scott? Do you guys have a favorite?
Well, I'm partial to the two that I've used the most are jQuery and ASP.NET Ajax. I think, and I like both of those, but they both have very different capabilities. ASP.NET Ajax, if you look at it strictly from a client-side programming viewpoint, it does offer some nice features. They did try to take some of the common pieces of the CLR that we're used to working with and move those down into a JavaScript library. So you get classes like a web request class that wraps the XML HTTP request, but it looks more like the web request that's in the CLR. And they have a string builder, and they added methods that we're accustomed to. So the built-in string type in JavaScript, they augmented it with, you know, like a string.format call and things like that. And that's wonderful, but I don't find myself needing those extensions all that often. I think if you want to do strictly client-side programming, then something like a jQuery offers you a lot more capabilities to do the things that you really want to do client-side, like client-side sorting and the CSS selectors and things like that. That stuff's easy to do with an update panel in ASP.NET, but update panels aren't always the best solution to use.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're like really different approaches as far as what they're doing. Like the way that the update panel and ASP.NET Ajax is working is kind of, it's hiding some of the complexity of Ajax from you.
That's true. And obviously another one of their goals was to integrate with their server-side framework, integrate with ASP.NET. So you get some nice features, like if you want to write one of the controls, like any of the controls that's in the Ajax control toolkit, you get some really nice base classes that you can build on, and you can essentially, there's some easy mechanisms through the iScript control interface where you can write a server-side control and then have a JavaScript representation of that control on the client side, and ASP.NET will take care of instantiating it and mapping the properties that you set server-side into the properties on the JavaScript that's running on the client's browser. And that's great for ASP.NET, but like I say, it needs some more client-side features.
Yeah. I used it some, and I wrote up a post, and I thought it was really slick, and then Rick Strahl pointed out to me that, it works if you're thinking from inside the ASP.NET control perspective, but then he was kind of like, look how simple this would be if you're just looking at JavaScript.
Right.
And, it's like to implement an iScript control, it's great if you're building a control.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a really, really solid, well thought out system. But then if all you want to do is make calls back to the server, then there's a lot easier ways to do.
Exactly. And I don't know how well it's going to be adopted by people that are taking up the MVC framework unless they add some more features into the ASP.NET client-side library. Just the people using the MVC framework won't be so server control oriented, obviously. It's more about spitting out clean HTML, and then you need something on the client side to manipulate that.
What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, the real strength for me from the ASP.NET Ajax stuff, sort of unfortunately, is the update panel stuff. In the sense of it's a really easy way to sort of Ajaxify a legacy ASP.NET app, and I think they did a really good job at making that really seamless and easy to do. But I don't think that's kind of the most interesting aspect of Ajax. I mean, it's very useful and it's very functional, but it's not really sort of very sexy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take advantage of a lot of the sort of performance improvements you can get from Ajax, where you're making very lightweight calls back to the server. But for, taking an existing app and making it a little less flashy, ASP.NET Ajax works great. The thing that kind of gets me about ASP.NET Ajax is it seems to have kind of come to a standstill. I'm not seeing a lot of development in that area, and the rest of these frameworks are doing monthly, every couple of months releases. So
right.
It definitely seems like every month that goes by, it falls further and further behind in terms of its capabilities. From a just rich framework perspective, I'm kind of like lazy coder, and that I'm kind of a YUI fanboy. Especially if you need rich controls. I did some evaluation of these various frameworks, and the depth of features in the widgets of YUI was not, at the time I did my evaluation, was not matched by the other frameworks. I think they each have their own sort of specialization, but if you want like a really, really rich calendar control, or you want a really, really rich autocomplete control, the depth of features of the YUI stuff just seemed to be much richer.
Yeah, I mean, the AJAX control toolkit seemed like, I mean, it is helpful, again, if you're in the ASP.NET world, because it's really nice to be able to drop an extender control on a text box and say, now you're an up-down text box or whatever. But when you're looking at, you know, a media player, I mean, there's nothing that comes close to the Yahoo one.
Right, and they're just, like, for example, the AJAX control toolkit, there just hasn't been a lot of new controls that I've, you know, as I've been watching it. So what's there is cool, but, you know, it needs to evolve, and I just haven't seen that happening. They're not doing a lot of releases. They're mostly doing bug fixes.
It's interesting, you know, like, in a way, Microsoft's competing with itself, and I kind of like that. I wish they did more of that. But, because there's the Silverlight front, which basically is saying, like, forget AJAX. It kind of. I mean, they can be complementary, but it's a different way of thinking. And as opposed to AJAX, where you're, you know, all the other toolkits are building on top of just JavaScript.
Right, and you do wonder whether, you know, those resources are now all being diverted over to Silverlight, because that's sort of the more strategic platform going forward, or certainly the most sort of the highest profile platform going forward.
I'm wondering, and I haven't kept up with this as much, I've been looking at IE8, but I've been mostly focusing on the browser rendering side of it, and I haven't looked at the JavaScript side of it. I do know that there's one thing where I saw on the IE blog where they were talking about how they were fixing a bug, which was, I get it all the time, where I'll browse to a page and it'll say, I forget, the page is unavailable or resource unavailable or something, and then I'll refresh it and the page will load. And they said, yeah, that's kind of a known problem in IE and it's being fixed. So I do know that there's work going on with IE8 and the JavaScript system.
I'm sure there is, but they're not telling us much.
Yeah.
You're on the cutting edge with a number of the latest web browsers, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been trying to keep up, partly because I'm working on a site that's needs to support Firefox 3 and IE8. And I'm really just kind of interested in like tracking what, like, for instance, there's a lot of things in that all the major browsers except for IE have been supporting for a while, that I'm just interested. I think that they're going to show up in time in IE, but like for me, I think vector graphics really should just be part of the browser. And as I'm working on websites, I'm seeing that 90% of the images we put into our web pages could be represented just as vector graphics. And so it really just seems like we're making a lot of work harder for ourselves. We'll get there in time, I guess, but I hope that we're not going to see the idea of like Silverlight influencing what IE does too much. I hope that IE continues to follow what's coming out in the standards. But Kevin, you've got another comment on the Google stuff, and I'd love to hear it.
Just one small comment, which is one of the coolest things I think about Google hosting these various libraries. I mean, obviously, being able to take advantage of their content network is awesome. But the fact that they will manage all the cacheability issues, I think, is going to be cool. You know, they'll handle setting up all the right cache headers and expiring things right, and that just seems like an area where a lot of times people don't take the time to get it right. And the fact that it'll be served from some central network will mean that, you know, all of our caches will be able to take greater advantage of that because it'll be served from one place. So I think it'll be a great service for people to take advantage of, make their sites more efficient.
You know, that's one thing that I I've been a little surprised maybe about, I mean, just now that you bring it up, but is that the ASP.NET AJAX isn't hosted the same way.
Yeah, I've also been surprised with that.
Because that would just be handy. And another slightly related thing is I ran into something, and I don't know if other people have too, but it makes a huge difference if you're using ASP.NET AJAX, if you've got debug turned on or off from for performance point of view. Because we were profiling an app that used ASP.NET AJAX and used AJAX Control Toolkit, and it worked fine locally, and then we started performance testing it off a server, and it was just slow. And we started looking in Firebug and seeing what it actually was coming back and forth, and the libraries were just huge, the JavaScript. And as soon as you turn debug equal to false, it does two things. It compresses the JavaScript, and it also caches it, which is huge. So we've talked mostly about JavaScript toolkits in terms of like full controls, and we've talked about JavaScript for client-server communication. We haven't really talked about some of the things like the utility methods outside of networking, like, for instance, controlling CSS or manipulating DOM elements or things like that. jQuery is pretty good with that.
I'd say the ASP.NET AJAX client-side libraries have the rudimentary stuff, so the ability to toggle a CSS class, the ability to wire up event handlers in a browser-agnostic way, but that's about it. There's not a lot there. The one cool thing I should point out about ASP.NET AJAX, one cool thing they did add in SP1 is a composite script element that you can put in your script manager. And what that will do is wrap up as many JavaScript file downloads as you want, packages all up into a single download for the client browser.
Which is really big because browsers will only, especially I guess IE, will only have two open network requests at a time or download two files at a time. Or depending, I don't know the exact number, but I know that there are hard limits on them and that they are opening them up with IE8, but you just get stuck with, even if they're not that big of files, they're coming down one
at
a time.
The HTTP spec from the W3C actually says that there should only be, two open connections to a server at a time. And Firefox doesn't really, enforce that as much. IE does, and ironically, this is one instance where IE got a lot of flack for upholding the standard.
It was written in, 1952.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting the way that specs, fit together with what actually happens. And sometimes the specs are right and everyone needs to catch up to them, and sometimes the specs are just wrong. Like I've heard, I've been interested in SVG for a while just because it's an open specification for vector graphics, but then I've heard people say that the politics that went on when that was being written really influenced what we got with SVG, and it's less than ideal because of that. And I'm not enough of a, I don't really know the spec well enough to understand what exactly is good or bad about it, but well, cool. I think this is good. We'll focus on shorter and unless we've got something really interesting to talk about, that's fine. So that's all we've got for this week. Thanks a bunch.